Even in a place as big as the Anglis Meatworks, word gets around quick that Will Jacobson's got himself cut and the doc has said it's a job for the hospital. Peggy jumps back from the sewing table when someone says his brother ought to know. "I'll go," she says, ducking out the door and pretending she can't hear Mavis, the forelady, with a face like the rear end of a cow, telling her to get back to her place. There's a tally to be made and no one can go skiving off for gossip. But it's not gossip, Peggy thinks, to make sure a man knows his brother is getting stitched. And even though she's almost certain word will have reached him on the kill floor from the boning room quicker than she can get there, she'll take her chance to spy on the slaughterman. There's still an hour till the whistle blows for lunch, so the place is bustling. She's getting used to that now. Those first few weeks, the stink of it all was nearly too much. True, Footscray itself has never smelled that flash, but up close the works were all shit and boiling tallow, the stench of stuff so foul she didn't even want to know what caused it. Now she's 6 months in and she's not even the newest girl, just bloody glad Kathleen could find her a spot. To her left, the cattle yards stretch all the way out to Ballarat Road. Empty for the moment, but you can almost hear the drovers bringing the herd down the hill and across the river from the sale yards at Newmarket. They'll be stocked full by tonight, ready for the kill floor in the morning. She's learned the way it all works. Not that she gets to see much of it, up in the bagging room, sewing the cotton sleeves for the carcasses with the other girls. But they get to speak to the boys on tea break and at lunch, and there's already been a dance or two, and this weekend, the picnic. Stepping out from the quiet cool of the hang room onto the kill floor shocks her, even though she's peeked in a couple of times. The bloodied walls, the men's aprons scarlet splattered and gleaming, bellows cut short. It's strange that this, a place where things come to die, is the place that feels most alive. It's hot and Peggy runs the fleshy nub of her palm once across her forehead, prickles of sweat on her skin. She likes the way the slorts wear their footy guernseys, the wool pulled tight across shoulders and chests, lean from the lift and the cut of each day. She can see them wash up after they reach telly if she gets the good perch in the bagging room with a view of the sinks. They know they're being watched, of course. She likes the way they strut and stretch under the eyes of all the women. It's nice for the tables to be turned for once. Under the taps, they wipe their hands over bloodied forearms and the gutters run pink bubbles. God only knows how the wives and mothers get the stains out of their clothes, over and over and over again. The way their arms move together is sort of beautiful. Muscles rising under their skin all at the same time, blades flashing, creating a pattern, man, lamb, repeating all the way into the shadow of the long room. "You right, love?" The man closest to her wipes his blade on his thigh and slides it in its sheath. A slaughterman takes pride in his tools. The girls have told her this. The tools belong to the man, not to the boss or to the factory. His skill is in the way he handles his knives, oils the pouches, wipes the blood from the belt before clearing it with his hand or his face. She blurts out her words. "Looking for Jacobson, his brother." "Yeah, he knows." The man goes back to cutting. "You better clear out before the foreman sees you." The next slaughterman raises his head and laughs. "Gah, come on, Bluey. Sight for sore eyes. You stay as long as you want, love." Other men laugh but keep their eyes on their cuts. It's a race to meet tally. She hovers, feeling the pulse of the floor flicker within her. Her eyes go to the tallest slaughterman, three up from where she stands. She watches the muscle move in his shoulder as he flashes the knife around the carcass in front of him. She knows him. Everyone does. Jack King, up-and-comer, son of a slaughterman, probably the great-great-grandson of one. The women say his name a little breathlessly. They tell of how he copped a bad cut when he started, had to take a month off before he could come back to work. But he did. She watches him work. He looks like a man who gets what he wants. The foreman is suddenly beside her. "Who's doing your job then while you stand there gawping at my blokes?" She blushes, apologises, glances back to see Jack King look up and grin at her. She'll cop an ear bashing when she gets back, but bloody hell, she thinks of that smile. It'll be worth it.